lights, camera, action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown,
Cardinals! Hello there and welcome to episode 157 of the British Birdgang Breakdown. And it took us 14 games to get here, but finally, Arizona Cardinals have been eliminated from playoff contention. And, you know, here we are to talk about it and everything else going on with the Cardinals, because it's not really been a quiet week in the desert, has it?
No, not really. Yeah, hi Tom. We're back again with, you know, continuing to break down this broken down season. Cardinals experienced another loss, as you said, eliminated from the playoffs. I think, as we discussed last week, we were realistically eliminated from the playoffs in about week six, but we are mathematically out now, and the tank is fully on. I think we've got fourth pick overall as it stands.
Yeah, at the moment we would be picking fourth with the draft, but you know, it's still time to make it worse.
Yeah,
or better.
Exactly. But yeah, here we are. As you said, you know, the horrible fortune of the Cardinals continues, and that includes a bunch of drama in the desert.
Yeah, I mean, like we say, it hasn't been a quiet week in the desert since, you know, our previous episode where, you know, we had to break down another loss. We've got another loss to break down this week. And I think we're on the verge of a breakdown technically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm way past that point now. It's just, it's become funny again to me. You know, we're just back at that point.
Yeah, I know. We're breaking down. The team's breaking down. Everything's breaking down. Welcome to the British Birdgang Breakdown.
And you would find a reason for that name at some point.
I know, but I didn't think it'd actually be like figuratively. I thought it would be like metaphorically.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we just break down games, you know.
Yeah.
Happy thoughts every single week, but no, nothing of the sort.
That is how you sold it to me. You told me it would be great and we'd have fun every week, but, you know, here we are again. And this week we've got to talk about the Cardinals general manager position. Now, I'd say, first of all, let's just get it out straight away that we are not here to debate over Steve Keim's health, whether that's legitimate, whether it's a real thing or not. We're here more to discuss something that, you know, a few different reports were saying this week. I think it was mainly CBS was saying that the Cardinals and Steve Keim are expected to part ways.
Yeah, apparently that's the case. And, you know, as always in tradition with the British Birdgang Breakdown, we're here to break all the big stories from last week, next week.
Yeah, I mean, it really is uncanny how soon after we finish recording, most of these stories break. But yeah, this one is obviously something that sort of, well, the team announced that Steve Keim was taking a leave of absence due to his health in the middle of last week. Was that on sort of Wednesday after we recorded, or Tuesday, or?
I'm going to have to look back now at the timeline, because obviously it was very,
yeah, it was very soon after we recorded. But anyway, I mean, point being, you know, the Cardinals announced that, obviously not really a good thing anyway. You know, we wish Steve Keim the best with his health and everything like that. But importantly, you know, in the last week or so, that's fueled an awful lot of speculation about the Cardinals replacing Steve Keim as GM. Now, there's a few different candidates in the running for that, but one of the kind of most high profile, I guess, would be another internal candidate, and that's AW.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can talk about the fact that there are two people at the moment taking over Steve Keim's duties.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. And AW being one of them.
Yeah, Adrian Wilson and Quentin Harris, who, yeah, personally, if we had to choose between the two of them, I would choose him over Adrian Wilson.
I can kind of, you know, see that. I think Adrian Wilson's been brilliant with sort of player development and stuff, but it's not, you know, I don't think he's overall GM material. Like, I think he's got an awful lot of love in Arizona, but, you know, just being loved does not make a good GM.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I mean, we did see in the last cycle, the last hiring cycle, last offseason, both of them did get interviews with other franchises.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, that's how I'd kind of like to see it for A-Dub, right? Because I'd hate to see him take the job and it not go well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, because he's loved in Arizona. You know, he's in the Ring of Honor, probably one of the best Cardinals ever in history.
Yeah,
should be in the Hall of Fame one day eventually.
I'd hate to see that, you know, be turned around on him by having a bad time as a GM, especially taking over with the team in the position that it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, obviously, you may want to put his own stamp on things. So who knows? Like, could he work with Cliff Kingsbury so we don't need to change head coach as well?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, regardless, it's a big challenge coming up. And, you know, I think that whoever it is that takes the job has that, you know, high first round pick to start making their own changes and things like that. But we've also got a lot of problem with an aging roster. We've got, you know, some guys who are quite injury prone. We've got, you know, cap space issues coming up. I mean, every team has cap space issues in some way or other. But it's not a simple challenge to come up with.
No, absolutely. But, you know, if, I mean, that's another thing. Like, does the situation Arizona is in at the moment, will that put people off from possibly, you know, putting their name forward to be GM?
I think in some ways it depends on, you know, what jobs are available in the coming weeks. Because, you know, if you've got a team that's doing well and things like that, you're hardly likely to resign as a GM.
Yeah, I know, it's just, well, I mean, usually GMs, like, come from, you know, sometimes you get, like, previous GMs, you know, getting a second chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you get, like, guys who, maybe they're, like, in an organization that's, like, really successful, but because of that's how it is, the GM that's there is going to be there for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, there's no chance in hell of them ever being the GM of that team they're currently with. So, you know, maybe they need to look elsewhere if they want to be a GM.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the Cardinals aren't the most attractive prospect, yes, but there will be one of very few. And yeah, it's just a question as well of, at that point, you know, do you hire internally or do you seek external hire? And I would like to see the Cardinals at least interview some guys from elsewhere as well. You know, I think Quentin and Adrian are both, you know, like really, really good options potentially. But I want to see them check elsewhere and you know, spend time with that as well.
Yeah, not do something like what Crew Alexandra recently did with their manager search,
which is obviously an internal hire as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely obscure and, like, barely anyone cares about this. But basically, they had a manager. He stepped down for personal reasons to become the assistant manager. And his assistant manager became the interim manager. But, like, to sort of, like, they put an application thing out for anyone to apply on the website. It was pretty half-arsed and everything.
I like it. You know, just stick it on through Workday or whatever. All right.
Yeah, so basically, they had 3 days to apply. Apparently, like 50 odd people applied for it. I didn't apply for it. No, I don't think I'd be qualified, even though I can do wonders with them on Football Manager. But yeah, basically, they whittled that down to 12 and they interviewed 4 people, including the interim manager at the moment. But the thing is, it sounds like it was so heavily stacked in his favor, you know, like he'd know everything about the team, everything about the club.
Yeah,
like these the external guys would have no chance whatsoever of finding all this information out in like 72 hours.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, I mean, you see that sometimes with job interviews and things like that, and it's always a bit of a bad sign, which is partly why I don't want the Cardinals to do it, and partially as well, the Cardinals need some new blood here. Like in terms of drafting, the GM position has been poor at it for quite some time. We've got really, really bad return on investment from the draft and all of that stuff. And I'd be afraid that if we went with an internal hire, we would miss out on, you know, being able to have a bit of a culture change, at least in that department.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things, like we could hire from the guys internally, like Adrian Wilson, Quentin Harris. But the thing is, they've been part of this organization for so long already.
Exactly, yeah.
People will, like, naturally assume they're, like, intrinsically linked to the Steve Kerr decision. So, I mean, obviously, Steve Kerr would have the final say. Possibly yeah. Michael Bidwell as well. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury on a couple of players. But, yeah.
But these are, like, still the guys who are out there doing the legwork, right, and presenting that stuff to Steve Keim. So unless Steve Keim has been completely ignoring them all of the time, which, you know, I can't imagine that would be going well for them if he was, or that they would stick around if he was completely ignoring them all the time, or they've been giving him, you know, like, tough choices or bad choices or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's his decision as a GM, so...
Yeah. I mean, the buck has to start with someone, right?
Yeah, and obviously he makes the final decision. They haven't made the final decision, although yeah. they have been part of the decision in some way or another.
Yeah, so, you know, I think for that reason, at least, I would want to see potentially a new outside candidate come in. And, you know, I think when you do that, you've got a much higher chance of them firing Cliff as well. Whereas I think if they went with an internal candidate, I think Cliff's job is a lot more safe.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things as well, like, will the GM come in to work with Cliff Kingsbury? Or would he want to bring in his own guy?
Yeah.
But also... would his own guy want to work with Kyler Murray? Because given that contract he's got, he's obviously the guy going forward at the position.
Well, I think that's, you know, when you're talking about getting a new coach in as well, I know we're talking about general manager here, but, like, the whole thing fits together a little bit, because ultimately you're going to need to bring in a GM who wants a coach who wants Kyler, right? Like, that's kind of the thing. Kyler is the piece that is going to be the constant here, I think, at least. I mean, I think it would be a disastrous move to trade him away at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but that could be an option, but I couldn't see it being an option, really, because obviously with the injury sustained and people wouldn't be knowing what to trade him for, you know.
His trade capital has gone way down because of that, and... ultimately, you know, like, where needs a Kyler Murray? We could send them to the Dolphins, like we've sent all of our recent cast-off QBs, I guess. But, you know, who else needs a Kyler Murray? And what would they be willing to give up for him? And then on top of it, what do we do in return for that? So, no, I think Kyler stays, and I think, you know, you get a coach that likes Kyler, whether that's Cliff or whether that's someone else, and therefore you need a GM who likes a coach who likes Kyler. That's my chain of reasoning for that one.
And obviously we're not privy to any of that sort of information, so we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out with him.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get our next breaking news item in about an hour or so once we're finished talking.
I mean, on the Kyler Murray front, there was some positive news. I think it was earlier today or yesterday.
Yeah, very true. Very positive medical news from the Kyler camp.
Yeah, saying that obviously with the torn ACL, that's never a good sign anyway.
No.
But with, like, the sort of repair he'll need, it's possible that he will actually be ready for week one of the 2023 season.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of, like, why they can predict this or whatever, but they're giving him a recovery window of 6 to 8 months, I should say. And that puts him right in the window for being recovered at the start of next season, which would be a huge boon because, like, you know, we were discussing last week that if it was an ACL tear, there's a good chance he might be out until, you know, week four, like October next year, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, the funny one, aren't they, with these ACLs? Like, any normal person does it. They could be suffering for years, but, like, a sports person manages it and, you know, click of the fingers and they're ready in, like, 5 to 6 months.
I think it's the difference between top-of-the-line medical care and getting fobbed off a little bit on it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean... again, it's one of those things, like, we say he'd be ready, but how ready would he actually be?
Absolutely. That's the big question there for me, because, yeah, you're right. Like, there's ready as in, you know, can run around and could be, like, playing football, and there's ready as in has had a chance to get himself back into shape, is feeling confident on the leg, is feeling, you know, ready to play. But I think, you know... ultimately, between that injury and, you know, the fact that we've kind of seen Kyler take quite a few injuries in the past couple of years, I think it's a wise time to start thinking quite strongly about backup quarterbacks and kind of more game ready, I guess, backup quarterbacks than someone like Colt McCoy.
It's funny you should say that, because there is also some news on the quarterback front this week.
Go on then.
And that is the fact that the Cardinals signed quarterback David Blough, I don't know how you pronounce it, but he signed him from the Minnesota Vikings practice squad.
I guess that's in reference to Colt McCoy's banged head, is it?
No, this was actually before that. This was following the Kyler Murray injury.
Oh, so interesting.
He was actually on the roster for the game on Sunday, but was inactive.
Right, so it's just a case of getting the depth in there and making sure we've got three.
Yeah, although there was an actual another addition to the quarterback room. We've been busy this week.
Yeah, I think I missed this one. I remember the David Blow.
Yeah, they signed quarterback Carson Strong to the practice squad. I mean, that was rumoured a couple of weeks ago, but they actually made it permanent this week.
Interesting, yeah. I guess, you know, it's like, it's the sort of thing you got to start making your moves now, you know, just to cover for the end of the season. Because, like, yeah, for instance, Colt McCoy could get injured and you need Trace McSorley to be your starter next week, you know, if Colt's still in concussion protocol.
I know, exactly. It does seem to be about right. You know, it's that time of the year where the Cardinals start to cycle through quarterbacks. And maybe it's a good reason they signed two this week because, yeah, like you alluded to, there was another quarterback injury, which we will talk about.
We'll get to that in the game, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, is there any more news we could talk about?
Are you just trying to put off talking about the game by any chance?
I mean, I'd happily talk for anything, but I'd happily talk about anything except the game. You know, for as long as we want to.
We could chat through the World Cup final if you fancy.
Yeah, but is that painful?
Too far.
Painful to see France or Argentina win, but yeah. One of them had to win.
Well, yeah.
What about the weather?
Well, it's funny because it was really cold last week and all of a sudden it's warmed up down here.
I know, it doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah, no.
We could talk about the fact that someone at Mile High Stadium on Sunday did have a good time. They won a pair of Ed Sheeran tickets.
I saw you tweeting about that. Did you hear that on a stadium announcement, or was it just about?
No, it was a random, like, the stream I was watching, like, sometimes it just cut back to the stadium.
Oh,
when it was, like, in a commercial timeout.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I just overheard that and was like, that's interesting. I'd rather win that than watch this game.
I was going to say, is that compensation for having to spend money on this, on tickets to this game?
I mean, I'd love to go see Ed Sheeran, but probably not go to Denver for it. But, you know, if I won tickets, I'd go.
You know, it's funny. There was a point when I might have been in Denver for this game, and I'm just really glad I'm not, for so many reasons.
I mean, my plan for Arizona was the past two games.
Oh, yeah, I remember that was going to be... Man, we need to be careful about the year we end up going, right? It's going to be a strange one.
We had a time when the Cardinals are healthy,
yep,
and actually good to watch, because it'd be worth the money then.
No. Now you're asking quite a lot, you know.
We're asking for a miracle here.
Yeah, we did go, like, time it for a solar eclipse, you know. If only it was as predictable.
I mean, 2023, hopefully I'll get to go over next year. But we'll see how the schedule falls and how the work schedule falls. But so I'll just take the holidays, they won't care.
Well, talking about schedules, obviously, yep. The game, it was game 14 of the season. A loss 15-24 against the Denver Broncos to push the Cardinals to 4-10 on the season, which also, if you include, you know, the back half of last season, puts us into quite the slump.
I mean, we don't have to worry about a second half slump from Cliff Kingsbury this year, do we? Because it's been a whole season slump.
Yeah, exactly. There's been no, you know, good games at the start of the season for him to fall from grace from. What more to say about this game other than that it was dreadful? Like, entire first half, the first quarter, a field goal. The second quarter, two field goals. What drivel.
I mean, I did predict last week on the podcast, you know, a 12-10 scoreline.
Yeah, you did. And to be fair, for the entire first half of the game and for much of the third quarter, I would have thought you'd been on to it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously going into the end of the third quarter, it was 10-9 to Denver. So, you know, had we got another field goal and they hadn't scored again.
Yep.
12-10, there you go. I'd have been a genius.
You'd have been a genius, absolutely.
But we would have also witnessed probably like the worst game of football ever.
I mean, do you remember the 9-9 tie that we had with the Seahawks a few years ago?
That was 6-6-all, wasn't it?
6-6-all. Oh, was.
See, if you're trying to make us have more field goals.
I know. Well, yeah, it definitely felt like we were on that level, but. I guess, you know, that game with the Seahawks, at least there was kind of defensive mastery on display here. This was just offensive ineptitude on both sides, really.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, going into this game, the Cardinals were down cornerback 1, cornerback 2, and cornerback 3.
Yeah, and obviously both teams down QB 1 as well, because it was a lineup of Colt McCoy versus Brett Rypien, which I'm sure was, number one billing for people across the country.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the over and under for the game, it was 37, and, you know.
What was it, 39 in the end?
39? In the end, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously the cover was the main thing. But, I mean, 39 points in the game, that's just pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And the fact that it looked like a struggle to get to that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, because didn't most of the points come in the fourth quarter?
Yep. So first quarter, 3 total points. Second quarter, 6 total points. Third quarter, 10 total points. And then the fourth quarter, 20 points out of that.
An explosion of points in the final quarter.
More than half the points in the fourth quarter. And it was not going well for either team, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, there really wasn't much to talk about in the first half, basically, besides, I suppose, the performance of one J.J. Watt.
Yeah, J.J. Watt was really kind of, I guess, the only truly outstanding player on the Cardinals anyway. 5 total sacks for them solo. 5 total tackles. 3 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. He just felt like he was everywhere. Just bullying that broken down Denver offensive line.
Yeah, his total thing for the first half, as you said, 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 5 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble, and 1 pass defense.
Yeah.
And to put the basic cherry on top, a British Birdland Breakdown Player of the Game award.
Unsurprisingly, really, he's one of the few players that really did anything in this. I gave mine my vote for Buda Baker because I kind of knew he wasn't going to win, but I thought that the interception was worthwhile.
I mean, you can tell basically how bad a game it was going on, how many people could be asked to vote on that one.
Did we even break 100 this week?
We didn't know. It was 98.
Oh, man, so close to being 99 as well.
I know, it would have been like some sort of Illuminati shit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe we could get the big man himself to be the 1990 foot. Or is it closed?
I closed it about 4 o'clock, I think, just so we had the result for the podcast.
Fair enough, yeah.
But yeah, JJ Watt got 81% of those votes.
Yeah, I'm completely unsurprised. I think he was like one of the few guys who really, really had like a good game. I mean, there's a few guys on the defense who have like pretty good numbers. Jalen Thompson with 9 tackles, Buda Baker with 7 tackles, 2 passes defended, Marcus Golden, Jonathan Ledbetter, Tristan Hill, and Myjai Sanders all with another sack as well. Meaning the defense came for 7 total sacks, which is, you know, that's pretty significant. I think that might be a high all season for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, they are one of the teams who have struggled to get to the quarterback this year, even with JJ Watt. I think he's up to 8.5 now, or 9.5?
Something like that, yeah. I'm just glad we're not tracking it for the sack post, really. A lot of that you got to say is Denver's offense for much of the game making them look good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things like first half, they thought, you know, they can take advantage of the fact the Cardinals had Chase Whitaker and Christian Matthew at cornerback.
Yeah.
And they thought, you know, we could beat these by passing the ball. But then they discovered they had such a terrible offensive line.
Yeah.
Who also, I think, he suffered about 2 or 3 injuries during the game.
I mean, I would have sympathy if it wasn't for the fact that we went in with our 10th offensive lineup in this game.
I know, it's just, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's wild. 10th in 14 games.
No continuity whatsoever, but...
No, you know. But yeah, absolutely. You're right, though. You know, considering we were down at the back end of our cornerback register and scraping up guys from the street, you know, they managed to put 7 receptions into the hands of Jerry Jeudy for 76 yards, 3 into the hands of Brandon Johnson, and then it's really just kind of small change from there. But they quickly found out that they were able to, or I say quickly, later in the game, they found out they were able to bully us with their roster of old running backs.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, like you say, like I was saying, they were first half, they were like, we can pass on these, but we can't protect the quarterback. So second half, they're like, sod it, we'll just run on them. And they were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about passing, we've got Jerry Jeudy getting 7 receptions for 6 yards, as I said. In terms of rushing, Marlon Mack takes 5 for 37 and a touchdown. Latavius Murray takes 24 carries for 130 yards and a touchdown. Both of them averaging significantly over 5 yards per carry, which is just absolutely the kind of thing that you can't allow. It's going to lose you a game.
Yeah, I mean, did you see in the game, they actually had a graphic pop-up saying that in his career, for Latavius Murray, his best games have always come against the Cardinals.
It's so funny, isn't it? Like, you know, and that's the thing is, like, that's not a short career either.
No, I mean, he's been in there for God knows how long now. Like, how many teams has he been on? It seems to be like his, I don't know, I've lost count.
He was born in 1990, so that probably puts it on about his, like, 8th season, 9th season, which is quite long for a running back.
I mean, Frank Gore did play for like,
I know, like, yeah, 90. Very true, very true. I'm every so often I'm surprised to like see he's not there anymore.
Yeah, Latavius Murray, he's 32. He's been on the Raiders, the Vikings, the Saints, the Ravens, the Saints, and now the Broncos again.
Yeah, he just returns to destroy the Cardinals every so often. But yeah, you know, as I said, like, letting him run over us the way he did is what lost us that game.
I mean, it did disappoint me, the fact that we could hear the commentator shouting Murray, but it wasn't for Murray.
I know. Murray's using his legs. You think, oh, he's back. And no, unfortunately not. It is, in fact, Latavius Murray. Giving up, obviously, a touchdown to him and to Marlon Mack, and one to Eric Tomlinson.
No idea who that is.
Nah, just, you know, one of the stable of running back of wide receivers that Denver has managed to convince to stay healthy at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because you really would think that it was going to be a passing problem, but the pass rush definitely saved us from further humiliation, I think, there.
Yeah, we just couldn't then stop them running on us at will.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's been a bit of a problem all season, right? Like, the stopping the run game has been pretty poor.
Yeah, I think we do rank near the bottom in that category. And then again, I suppose we rank near the bottom in every category, considering we are 4-10.
Well, it's funny, actually, you say that, because talking of defense, I was reading a thing on Reddit this week, and it was, you know, it's just some random guy posting, so take away from it what you will. But he was saying that the Cardinals' defense is funny because it tricks you. Because on first and second down, they get these really good stops. And it looks like they're all of a sudden like really, really efficient and been playing really well. And they occasionally get these, you know, a couple sacks here and there, a couple takeaways, whatever. But the big thing that they give up is they give up these horrible big third down plays, and then they give up these big long plays, and it's like every single week we're giving up at least one play that's like 30 something yards. We're giving up, you know, looking at this one, we give up a 35 yard play and a 17 yard play. You know, those big numbers, and that's the kind of thing that adds up.
Yeah, and that's the police coming for Vance Joseph, crowds against football.
Well, I think, you know, Vance Joseph is an interesting one, because that's actually what started off the discussion that guy was having, was someone saying, you know, we really should keep Vance Joseph on because the defense has been one of the bright sparks of this season. And while I agree the defense has been probably better than the offense for most of the season, that maybe isn't saying as much as we would like it to.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the defense is very shorthanded at the moment, so he can only do with what he's got, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's way more complicated than just that, but I think it's a good point, right? Like, you know, the defense is kind of, it's the sort of bend, don't break mentality, but then they just break in little increments every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to criticize the defense because for the most part, they have done a good job this season.
Yeah, well, they do keep the score within a, like, reachable limit, I suppose. You know, a 24-point game from a team who should be beatable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was only the second time this season they've actually scored over 20 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, considering some of the absolute trash games that Denver's had this year, I don't think it'll be looking good on them, or at least looking good on Russell Wilson in that regard, which I'm pleased about.
I mean, with quarterbacks as well, we did lose our starting quarterback for this one during the game due to a concussion.
Yeah, now, there's an interesting one. So I saw a lot of people talking about how, I mean, as people will in the Cardinals online chats, people blaming it on Cliff Kingsbury for designing a play where a quarterback as old and fragile as Colt McCoy runs up into a loaded box.
I mean, it was technically a read option play, so what you could read into that is the fact that Colt McCoy made the wrong decision.
You think he just wanted out of the game?
No, just like, obviously it's a read option, so he has the choice to either carry it himself or hand it off to the running back.
Yeah,
but he obviously made the wrong decision and paid the ultimate price with a concussion. And I think he also took out Kelvin Beecham's ankle.
Oh, yeah, okay. I could imagine it, to be honest. It would just be our luck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because he did go out on the same play, actually. Both of them did.
Yeah.
Although Beecham did return at some point. But that does mean his record of being our only healthy starter is now gone.
Oh, yeah, true. I also, you know, I mean, Colt McCoy heading out after completing 13 of 21 attempted passes for 78 yards and a QB rating of 49.3.
Yeah, he just got nothing going, did he? It was just like all the short passes here and there and then hope for the best, but...
Yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about how Denver's passing game was inhibited by, you know, poor offensive line play, but really, we were no better.
Yeah, I mean, we did give up quite a few sacks of our own. And I think at one point I did say it wouldn't be a surprise to see both of these teams give up double-digit sacks in this game.
Yeah, well, in the end, you know, although it felt like a lot for Arizona, they gave up 3 sacks for 6 yards compared to Denver giving up 7 sacks for 41 yards. So, you know, I think we definitely got off lighter there, but there was a hell of a lot more missed passes. There was a lot more passes defended, etc., from the Cardinals. And additionally, you know, the Denver had one interception, or Brett Rypien had one interception, whereas Cardinals combined for 3.
Yeah, and they were ugly interceptions that we threw.
Yeah, they were not good, were they?
I mean, there was one point that did make me chuckle going into the fourth quarter.
Go on.
Where the commentator thought that the Cardinals would be conservative on third and long.
Oh, not with Cliff Kingsbury at the helm.
Gotta say, yeah, he just fucking hails the ball as deep as he can.
Yeah, absolutely. Was that the one that we got intercepted on as well? No, that was the end of the fourth quarter, wasn't it?
No, I think that was just an incompletion where Trace McSorley just missed the wide receiver.
Ah, right, okay.
Oh, but it was like a pretty deep pass.
I think I remember he threw it just too long, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Denver get the touchdown. McSorley got picked by Simmons. Sadly, not Isaiah Simmons. It was their Simmons.
It was Justin Simmons,
I want to say. Yeah, Justin Simmons, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, in that sort of like, I think it was actually like 8 minutes or so period in real time, the score went from 10-9 to 24-9.
I know. It's hard to say at what point I realized we were losing this game, to be honest. Because, it felt like sort of at the half, I thought this is going to be a dreadful game, but we're going to win it. And at the third quarter, we were like, you know, it was 10-9, and I was like, well, you know, this is easily within reach. And, you know, just that point, as you said, the Broncos just back-to-back big scoring drives.
Well, no, I think they were actually short fields after the interception.
Yeah, they were.
So it was just, yeah, like you say, it was close until that point. And, like, people were actually dreading the fact that the Cardinals were winning at halftime because, you know, you don't want us to win. They want us to lose and get the higher draft pick.
Yeah.
Which, and obviously, I mean, totally you can see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Cardinals aren't going to be doing that themselves, are they? Like, purposefully losing because they're just way too proud to do that.
And, you know, on top of it, I think if you get found purposefully losing like that, you know, in a way that's obvious, you're going to lose your first-round draft pick anyway.
I mean, I can't see, like, guys like Buda Baker wanting to just give up.
Yeah, because, definitely not. Especially not to, like, get in, you know, one new young guy, you know. They don't care. They'd rather win.
I mean, I suppose we should as well highlight the fact that Trey McBride had a pretty nice game.
I think so, yeah. You know, it's, what's that, 4 receptions, 55 yards? Like, pretty nice.
Yeah,
One big one in particular.
Yeah, it was just, he didn't have, like, the highlight play like he had last week where he managed to hold onto the ball despite being, like, blasted with however many G's of energy and force, like, aimed right at him. But, yeah, good game from him, considering, like, he hasn't done much the rest of the season.
It'd be nice for this to be a kind of turnaround moment for him, you know, one where all of a sudden he was kind of sees himself as more of a competitive player, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose as well the fact that it was, like, technically a home game for him, with him being from Colorado.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Maybe he'd always wanted to have his, you know, have a big play in Mile High. Or maybe he's just adapted to the oxygen levels.
Yeah, I mean, they say that about that stadium, and which is why we're expecting to see lots of field goals, but I mean, we had plenty in the first half, but second half not so much.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Cardinals obviously got that one field goal in the third quarter, but their 6 points in the fourth quarter came from a pretty well-deserved James Conner touchdown, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, after a couple of drives, they had a couple of really nice plays on that drive, so it was deserved that he was the one to cap it off.
I would argue that it was almost his drive alone, you know, at that point.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, we just see that from him every now and then, don't we? He just takes over the game, and because that's what you paid him the money for.
Absolutely, yeah. No, he's a pretty special running back, and yeah, good touchdown. Shame it obviously came to nothing, you know, a failed two-point conversion with a pretty egregious missed PI.
I mean, how can you not see that? He was literally hugging him.
Yeah, it was truly dreadful missed call on that one. But, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't make that much difference. It meant that it was, what would that be, 15? Was that would have made it 15-24, right? And it could have been 17-24. Which brings it into, you know, one touchdown territory, of course. But
yeah, people were obviously, again, like, criticizing the decision to go for two there when if they kick the one, it's an 8-point game, isn't it? So then you need the 2-point conversion later.
Exactly. You're going to need to do it at some point or other. So might as well do it then, right?
I don't know, because like, now you're in a 9-point hole. And that means you do need a touchdown drive, and you then would need to get a successful onside kick with the time left. You know, that's a pretty tough ask, especially when you're down to like QB3.
Thing is otherwise you're still in an 8-point hole, which I guess means that you need to get your touchdown and a 2-point conversion. But if you then miss that 2-point conversion, then, you know, you got to get the ball back and do the same thing. So you need to score a 2-point conversion at some point along the way there, I guess. I mean, I suppose, like, in a psychological sense, if the players are less thinking about, we need to go down and score a touchdown and then we need to do it again. But if instead they're thinking we need to get down and score a touchdown and then we'll see.
I mean, personally, I would have kicked it there to make it the 8-point game, because then either you're going to take it to overtime 24-24 or you're going to lose 22-24.
That is true, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're the ones.
There's always the take it to overtime option.
Or you could do like what the New England Patriots tried yesterday.
Oh man, what a dreadful choice that was.
I just don't get it. Like, why do that?
I know. Like, if you're losing, definitely do it. Otherwise, just take it to overtime, man.
And instead they made Chandler Jones look like a hero, even though he's done shit all this season.
Yeah. He finally gets his highlight play as a Raider.
And it costs him like $55 million for it. Whatever.
Yeah. I guess, do we have anything else to say about this this Denver game?
I mean, we did see Trace McSorley get picked for a second time to ice the game when he was on one of those drives where we needed a touchdown, but yeah.
Means he ends with a quarterback rating of 27.8, which I gotta say, I can't say I'm looking forward to seeing him potentially start next week.
You never know, we could get David Blau.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like, at the end of the day, Brett Rypien, is out here with a quarterback rating of 95, which is by no means elite. But it's like, that's kind of where I would expect a backup quarterback to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was big enough for him to beat us. So, although that's not really saying much, is it?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not as though it was a huge challenge. But, like, at the end of the day, you know, he seemed like he plugged the gap. And I'm not saying that Colt McCoy's not done that for us in the past. Like, he has. He's played really well for us in the past. But I got a question, you know, like, someone who is 36, I think Colt is. And, you know, I think the reason that they brought him on is because he was going to be a great development coach for Kyler, basically. You know, like, that was one of his main roles, essentially. And I got to wonder, you know, that was 3 years ago when he was 33. Is it time to move on and pick up somebody, especially now that we've seen Kyler get injured 2 seasons out of 3? Is it time to move on and pick up somebody who is ready to get going?
I mean, I can't see them doing it with the first round pick in the NFL draft, but with this loss, the Cardinals do move to fourth in the order for the draft.
Yeah, so I think ahead of them, there is the Broncos pick, which is actually going to the Seahawks in return for a certain short quarterback. And then the Broncos now have the same record as us. And then
it's like on the strength of schedule, they would be picking third. Well, the Seahawks will be picking third.
Yeah.
But we don't want that.
It could still change, you know. And I know first overall is Houston with one win. So we're not catching up to them.
Yeah. So second overall is Chicago. And I mean, they've had their moments, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I guess kind of like the Cardinals from a different perspective.
Yeah. But the thing is, again, they've got a quarterback who, you know, he lights it up every now and then. But he also seems to be made of glass at the moment because once again, he went out with an injury in their most recent game.
Mm. Yeah. It's not looking good for them for that future there, is it really?
I know, but I mean, he's, like you say, he's had his highlights and, you know, there's definitely, he could play in the league, but again,
I think that's the thing though, is like there's an awful lot of guys who've had careers just like that, you know, people who were like really, really promising, they came in, they were just too injury prone and couldn't hack it, you know. And I think as well, like, you see it happen a lot where people get injured and then they get a bit more injured and they just like the career path of RG3, for example.
Yeah, I was thinking of it, actually.
You know, no. I think he's a prime example of someone who's like absurdly talented, could be massively game-changing, but, you know, through no fault of their own, they're either just like more naturally injury-prone or, as I say, I think, well, sometimes with certain injuries, once you get them, they just lead to more.
Yeah, and hopefully we have... Hopefully Kyler Murray isn't on that path.
Yeah, I really hope so as well. That's one of the things that worries me slightly with him, you know, basically having never finished a full season of NFL football.
I mean, there's always 2023, I suppose. But, you know, we're a year away from that episode of the podcast. So
Yeah, we'll find out this time next year, I'm sure. Yeah, we get anything else to say with regards to Cardinals Broncos?
I mean, we did allude to the fact that it did eliminate the Cardinals from playoff contention.
Yeah, very true.
So there'll be no playoffs then. I'll tell the Beard Gang.
Oh, I saw that this morning. I loved that one. That was a really good one.
I know. It's such a good meme.
How long have you had it on your deck for?
I actually did it this morning.
Nice.
I just thought, you know, finally I can get that one in the use.
Yeah, that's a good one. But as I said, you know, a bit of a lack of surprise. At least we're not the first team to be eliminated from contention.
Yeah, I mean, it's really got 3 games left to play this season. That's yeah, probably the only saving grace we got with every passing episode.
Very much so. Oh, that's another thing that it does. It finally puts us at the bottom of the NFC West.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's not nice to be below LA, who are having an awful season as well.
I suppose it may give us a nicer game for next season, you know, when we have to play whichever respective team in a different division, finishing in the same position as us.
True. It would put us in among, like, you know, Denver, for example, bottom of their division as well.
Yeah, but we don't want to play Denver again, do we?
No.
Although, maybe if Russell Wilson's there, then, you know.
I did hear at the very end of the broadcast, they were saying that this is the, like, sixth loss in a row the Cardinals have had in Denver.
Yeah, it's one of those streaks that possibly we could have ended, but had we ended it, people would have been disappointed that we ended it.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know, we can't always end streaks like our loss streak to the Rams, for example.
No. Shall we move on to fantasy football?
Yeah, well, last week of fantasy, isn't it?
I think in most leagues it is, yeah. So, yeah. Bird Gang Bowl, that's all gone anyway. No one cares.
Yeah, Bird Gang Bowl, I could win it based on, I can't remember who I've even got left to play in that, but I've got nothing to play for anyway. Bird Gang Bowl is out for me.
Yeah, I'm winning in the Bird Gang Bowl, or rather, I've actually won this week, 162 to 128, but yeah, means absolutely nothing because 9-6 won't get me into the playoffs.
Ouch, yeah.
But
that's a shame because 9-6 isn't a dreadful record, to be honest. Like, I think there are certain leagues that would at least put you up into the lower reaches spots.
Yeah, I mean, if I was in one of my other leagues with the playoffs, 9-6 would have actually got me in the playoffs, but not to be. Dynasty League, that's another different story because, you know, it's that part of the season where either you're going for the playoffs or you're going for whatever the best pick is you can get.
Yeah. I mean, we've discussed as well this on this podcast about how it's not right to tank in these situations, and you've proven that you're not tanking.
I'm not tanking, but I'm still going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, have you not seen that in the cruel twist of fate, the fact that Conrad, who was 12th with 3-11,
yeah,
he's obviously tanked this week by pulling out guys like, let me just get it up. So he definitely benched Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
He claimed
that was a mistake, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but he benched him. He had Trevor Lawrence on the bench. He benched Christian McCaffrey. That's another one.
Yeah.
And
the tank is well and truly on for the man in 12th position.
But he's winning by 50 points this week.
It's insane. It is insane.
It makes no sense because guys like Zay Jones got 35 points. Russell Gage got 25 points. It's like, I can see, you know, dropping the guys for them because you think, yeah, they're going to do nothing like what Zay Jones done all season.
Yeah.
And then it's like he catches 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. It's wild. It's wild.
I suppose it's karma, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You know, that's what you get for trying to tank, I guess. But yeah.
I mean, actually, looking back, past 4 games for Zay Jones, he's had 27, 3, 21, and 34 points.
What a, like, wildly up and down streak.
Fantasy people must love him.
I bet you there's someone out there who does that thing that I do, which is like, see someone on my bench who's had a week, go, right, okay, you've earned your chance, here's a starter, they do nothing, you bench them again, they have a great week, and you know, you just continue that cycle.
I think the playoffs are actually starting in the Bird Gang Bowl for this week, but as is the case, we haven't done any preparation for this episode, so we don't know who's actually in them and who isn't in them.
Well, anyway, best of luck to everyone who actually made it.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell the fact that one of our curses from preseason didn't work, though, because in my league, no fuck-heim idea actually made it into the playoffs with an 11-3 record.
I think we cursed in my league Kyler Study Corner, who's only ended up 8th, but I have ended up 10th. So, McBride and Prejudice, Kyme's Criminal Crew, my ball Zach Ertz, and the Kyler inside me all look like they're heading in for that league for me.
Yeah, McBride and Prejudice, that was one of my favorite names.
That's a good one. Yeah.
What about the Pick'ems this week? How did you do?
Pick'ems week 15 points of 10, with obviously Monday Night Football still to play, and hopefully the Packers can beat the Rams, although I'm actually not sure about that. I might change my mind on that, which puts me on a total of 122 points.
Whereas I got 12 points this week.
Oh.
Yep, total of 132. Again, with the Packers to come on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you're really pulling ahead of me. That 10-point gap is a hard one to close with only a few weeks left.
Yeah, Cowboys, Titans, and the Commanders were the teams that let me down this week. I suppose the last one was a bit egregious.
Yeah, Cowboys was an odd one, yeah. That was.
I mean, it was lost on a pick six, wasn't it, in overtime?
Yeah, wild.
As if the FA, as if the World Cup final wasn't wild enough. You know, we have that game following it.
Yeah. Well, it's not as wild as, what was it, Minnesota game.
Oh, man, that was crazy. I thought, you know, give up at halftime. It was like, what,
33 points down they were at some point, 33 to nothing, and they won 39-36.
Just crazy.
Luckily, I picked them, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I picked the Vikings, but... I mean, did you see on our group as well, the last man standing competition?
Oh, yeah, that was down to the wire, wasn't it?
Yeah, one at the Cowboys, one at the Vikings.
Wow, what a flip.
And it was insane. Imagine having and like, it was 500 quid or something.
Yeah, it was a significant amount of money. So, well, fair play to the winner. Yeah. That's the fantasy.
And now back to the reality, the fact that we have another Cardinals game to suffer through, this time to possibly ruin Christmas.
Yeah. Well, actually, luckily for us, it is in time for Christmas to have actually been completed because the Cardinals host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 1:20 a.m. on Boxing Day for us.
Yeah. So is this actually I mean, I've lost count of the days anyway, so Boxing Day, so it's actually a Sunday night football game.
It's wild, isn't it?
Like, once they can flex these games around.
Would you remember, do you remember a few years ago when we were doing well and they seemed to flex us into prime time, like, 4 or 5 times across the season?
Yeah. Maybe it's because it's on Christmas Day, you know, and it's, like, protected.
Yeah. It very possibly, yeah. The other thing it could possibly be is that there are yet more Tom Brady is retiring rumors, and they might want to put on a showcase of him stomping all over the Cardinals. Like, I genuinely think that might be part of it.
I mean, there was once upon a time when he could have been a Cardinal, but, you know.
I remember that, yeah.
I mean, they had mock-ups and everything on the internet, but never came to fruition.
Man, can you imagine that? Like, remember, like... how everyone thought he was going to be so washed up when he went out to Tampa Bay, and you know there he is winning Super Bowls, and you know
he's still like 40 odd. It's insane.
Yeah, it's just wild. I mean, yeah, there's me complaining about Colt McCoy being 36 and being too old for it, and Tom Brady's still out there, you know. Although I think he's definitely sacrificed his body for it very, very clearly.
And he has the rings to show for it as well. Whereas he does, Colt McCoy gets none.
Absolutely none. Tampa Bay, Arizona Cardinals, matchup predictor with people, with ESPN. It's all obviously well into the Tampa Bay camp, given that they are currently... top of the NFC South, despite having a losing record.
It's hardly a ringing endorsement, is it? Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, exactly. Versus Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta, it's not the best division in football by a long way. But they're out there with a 6-8 record, and it's certainly better than our 4-10 record.
I mean, we'd certainly take being in that division, you know, still being in with a chance of winning it. Apart from where we are now.
That's the thing, is like we're making fun of the NFC South here with Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta, but all three of those teams are on 5-9, so we would still be the bottom of that division.
The spread at the moment is the Buccaneers minus 4.5, so even at home we're like the underdogs.
Yeah, so that negates the usual, 3 points for home game?
I mean, that's a massive swing, like 3. Yeah. That's like 7 points off us.
Yeah. So, which, to be honest, I can't blame the bookies for going for that.
And I mean, it does mess up everything as well this week because, you know, with it being Christmas Day and, like, you don't want every team to play on Christmas Day. You've got most of them playing on Christmas Eve instead.
They've got who playing on Christmas? Oh, most of them, did you say?
Yeah, pretty much, like, the rest of the league. So they've got 6 o'clock games. So we've got a Saturday edition of NFL Red Zone to look forward to.
Do you know what? I bet you that's why the Cardinals have not been flexed, because they probably consider the Saturday night game to be the real primetime game.
Well, I mean, that's the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, so probably not.
Still not great. Yeah, maybe it's all a bit weird around Christmas anyway. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's possibly been protected from being flexed just because of, like, the time of the year it is. And, like,
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
You don't want to ruin people's, like, Christmas plans.
I bet you it could be like an NFLPA thing of, like, you need to tell us when we're working around Christmas, like, 2 months, you know, months and months before, and you can't change your mind or whatever.
So we're stuck with this game to suffer through on Christmas Day at least, but hey-ho, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest present I can get is that afterwards there'll only be two more games.
I mean, that's basically going to be the premise of next week's episode, I'm sure. Like, there is only two more games to suffer through, so thank God we're nearly there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in terms of this game, like, you know, I'm at a point of watching where I think I would still enjoy the Cardinals doing well, of course, but I'm quite happy for them to lose and to get that better chance at a good draft pick. So it'll be a nice chance to sit down and watch Tom Brady play well, I guess.
A Todd Bowles revenge game as well, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame Big Bruce isn't there anymore.
He might be dressed as Santa Claus, you know.
Yeah, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Or maybe he's been mistaken for Sean Coogler, who knows?
Oh, man. What chaos. What chaos. Obviously, if we're talking danger men on the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, of course, being the biggest one. We've got Leonard Fournette.
I'm not sure at the moment. I think Rashad White's been taking the backfield more than him.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I mean, the Buccaneers are a little bit banged up as well, right? Because they've lost Julio Jones. They've lost a few of their offensive linemen as well. I think Mike Evans is still out there, right?
I think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are still around. So, you know, against whatever we've got at cornerback, you know, I'm sure they'll have a big game regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. But it'll be interesting to see how White gets on, given how poor our run game defence has been.
Yeah, I mean, I've started him in fantasy as well. So if I'm still in fantasy, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Possibly I might be in the playoffs somewhere, hopefully.
Cardinals just down, cornerbacks all over the place. Colt McCoy is still currently listed as questionable. I'm sure Cliff Kingsbury will say that he is a game-time decision. I don't think it's impossible that he clears concussion protocol in time to start for the game.
No, but I mean, like, Russell Wilson didn't. I mean, I think he did pass concussion protocol, but just decided not to play him anyway.
I mean, that's because he's been playing terribly. And I suppose, to be fair, the Cardinals have nothing to lose in letting Trace McSorley get to work, right?
I mean, they've probably got the dignity to lose, but whether they've got any of that left, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just, like we say, maybe they'll chuck the practice squad guy in, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a wild game at State Farm anyway. You know, this is just, it's been like, such a bad run, and this is the last home game of the season, because after that, we're on the road to the Falcons, and then we're back across the country on the road to the 49ers. So, you know, who knows, I guess, how this is going to look at State Farm. But I suspect that we are going to see some booing tonight. We're going to see some booing this week.
I mean, I'm sure they're still booing already, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just nonstop booing outside the stadium, waiting in preparation.
Just doing it in shift work, right?
I'm going to put it past some of these Cardinals fans, how they are.
Mm.
Should we go for some predictions?
I've got no idea what to predict at all, to be honest with you. I could see us getting absolutely blown out by the Buccaneers, but I could see them, you know, also struggling because of their own injuries and stuff. But I think I might put the Buccaneers at like 34 and the Cardinals at, say, 17, scoring half that.
You're kind of taking my thunder now, because I was going to go for Tampa Bay to score 33,
Yeah.
Arizona to score nothing.
Oh, okay, okay. I mean, honestly, I could see it. I could see us getting blown out like that. But to be honest, I think if we're going to score nothing, I could see Tampa Bay putting up a hell of a lot more on us than that.
Yeah. Maybe they'll have sympathy for us. Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, yeah, that's my bold prediction. 33-0. I'm sure that was the same scoreline at that game that never happened in Twickenham. Yeah,
I believe that was the same scoreline as the Twickenham game that never happened. So, we know it's possible. We know what it feels like. But
we're ready to get hurt again, as the meme moves.
Absolutely. But hey, it will be a nice chance to chill out after Christmas, really let the seasonal depression kick in.
At least there'll be plenty of beer around for people to get completely shit-faced on, so you don't have to actually remember the game.
Or chocolates, you know, if you want to just sit and eat chocolate in a depressed manner too.
Or just both. Everything, basically. Forget the game ever happened.
A complete overindulgence in everything, including sadness.
And then we'll have to relive it again on the following Monday or Tuesday or whenever we decide to record over the festive period.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess we'll be back. And I'll be recording from Bonnie, Scotland, I guess, next week as well to talk about that game as it comes up.
Yeah, so I suppose I'll do it for this week's episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. As always, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcast from. Like us on Twitter at facebook.com. I'm getting all completely wrong, aren't I? Facebook.com.
It's not like you've not done it 150-something times before now.
I know. It's such a mess. And I'll just leave it in because I can't be bothered editing either. So
just get it done. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Facebook.com/British Bird Gang. Facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Twitter, at British Bird Gang, as you should know by now. Buy British Bird Gang merch for Christmas at BritishBirdGang.tml.com. Although you won't get it in time.
Arrive before Christmas, but who knows?
Yeah, miracle, possibly, maybe. Make your own, it'd be easier.
It could happen.
And yeah, I've already done the podcast plug, so, you know, I suppose we should say, is it too early to say Merry Christmas?
No, we can. By the time we do next episode, Christmas will be done, so we can say, have a Merry Christmas if you're celebrating, have a nice time if you're not.
Yeah, I'll echo those sentiments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, join us again next week for another episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. Until then, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
We'll see you then when we'll be continually more broken down. Merry Christmas, folks.